The title of the sermonette is, "This is the Work of God." Now, if somebody were to ask you the question, how to define, describe the work of God, what would you say? Would you say, well, the work of God today is to preach the gospel in all the world as a witness so that the end can come? Would you say, the work of God is to bring up the ancient Chaldeans in order to punish the modern nations of Israel and Judah? Would you say the work of God is to take care of and punish the Chaldeans after the work of God regarding Israel and Judah has been completed? Well, all your answers would be correct. They're all part of the work of God because the Bible specifically identifies those events as the work of God. But I like to focus on an aspect today which Christ emphasized. And he made an interesting statement at one time which may perhaps be a little bit difficult to understand. And you really have to think about it. In order to do that, let's go to the book of John, John chapter 6. And we start reading in verse 26. John 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." You see, in other words, Christ had just performed a miracle. He had taken 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he multiplied them in such a way that the multitudes who were present were filled, and there was still some left over. And so the people came to Christ, and Christ says, "Yeah, but you're not coming because you even saw the signs. You came because you were filled." And he goes on to say in verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." In other words, he said, labor for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Well, the Jews didn't understand what he was talking about, because they go on to say in verse 28, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" In other words, that we can perform those miracles which you have performed. And here comes the answer in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." This is the work of God, he said, that you believe in him, in other words, in Christ, whom God the Father sent. Now, the commentators have a field day with that statement. They say, aha, so all you need to do is to believe in Jesus. So you believe in Jesus and you will be saved. No more activity involved, required on your part. And many commentaries actually are saying that. Is that what Christ meant? Is he saying, oh, all you need to do is to believe in me and that's it? Did he mean you don't have to do anything? You don't have to do any works? Well, he said, labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. So labor is involved. You see, believing in Christ is just the beginning. It must be followed by believing Christ. In other words, not only believing in him as the Savior, but believing what he said. Followed by repentance. Followed by acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. Followed by baptism. Followed by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with it comes the faith of Christ living in us. And in the end, after constant overcoming, receiving eternal life. Now, all of this is a gift from God. Every single aspect of it, even believing in Christ, is a gift from God. You cannot believe in Christ unless God gives you that belief. And everything else which follows, the understanding that you have to repent, all a gift from God. But our faith is shown by our works, James, the half-brother of Christ, is saying. He also said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, because otherwise you deceive yourselves. And he said, be doer of the work. So here we have it again, the work. What is the work? Why is Christ saying, this is the work of God, that you believe in me? Why is believing in Christ the starting point of this process, the work of God? Again, let me ask you this question. In this context, what is the work of God Christ is referring to here? Now, you may think a little bit about it, but let's turn together to an interesting scripture in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 6. And here Paul is saying what he is confident of, but he's really talking about what God the Father and Jesus Christ are confident of. And he's saying, being confident or convinced, convicted of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here we are talking about the work of God in us. And many scriptures point that out. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We read, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Doesn't say that good works are no longer required, which God prepared even beforehand that we should walk in them. But where it says here in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, the New Jerusalem Bible says, we are God's work of art. We are beautifully, fearfully made, even from a physical standpoint. But much more involved is being described here. It has to do with our way towards salvation. Notice Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. And let's look at verse 16. And I just want to read a portion of this verse from the Authorized Version, the old King James Bible. And there it says, shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Well, he's talking about the person, calling that person the work. And here are persons who say, well, God didn't make us. We are just a product of the evolution theory, and we are just the descendants of apes and monkeys. Well, some people may behave like apes and monkeys today, but that's not how we came into existence, right? God created us. Continuing in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 23, it says, but when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. Again, what is the work of God? It's you and it's me. It's the one God is working with, and within them he is working. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. And we all are the work of your hands. Have you ever thought about it this way? You are the work in God's hands. When Christ says, this is the work of God, that you believe in me, it was a starting point. It all comes from God, and God is working out his individual plan for you right now within you and through you. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 11, and see the context here. It has to do with salvation. Isaiah 62 and verse 11. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, Zion here a reference, of course, to the church, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. You and I will be there when Jesus Christ returns. If we are alive, we'll be changed into immortality. If we are already dead, we'll be resurrected as eternal beings in the family of God. It says, proclaim to Zion salvation and his work, which is before him. You see, God grants us salvation as a gift. We are not saved through our works. We can't earn it through our works. But God expects us to labor, to work. It says, even working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, thereby showing that we are serious about God's calling, about our potential. In Romans chapter 14 and in verse 20, we find an interesting comment by Paul, which has all the bearing in this context. Romans 14 and verse 20. He says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Now, here are people, and were people, who wouldn't eat clean meat. We're talking about clean meat here, because that meat was sacrificed to idols, and others didn't have a problem with it. But so he said, don't create a stumbling block. He said, don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. What work of God is he talking about? The context is the brethren. The context is don't destroy a brother or a sister because of, in this case, food. Don't put a stumbling block before your brother because he is part of the work of God. So don't destroy the work of God in him. And so we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The point is, Paul is praying that God would count us worthy, that God would fulfill his work of faith with power in us, so that the name of Jesus can be glorified in us, because it is Jesus Christ living in us. And so, in Romans chapter 9 and verse 28, we find another interesting comment regarding the work of God. Romans chapter 9 and verse 28. And again, the context is salvation. He's saying here that he is bringing some of Israel to salvation. It says a remnant in verse 27 will be saved. Verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. In the context here, we're talking about God's work of salvation, saving people, which will be cut short. In other words, the time allotted to each one of us is limited. We'll have an end. We read in general that we can either hasten or delay the work of God. So what is Christ saying here in John chapter 6 when he said this is the work of God, that you believe in him, in Christ? In other words, you are God's work. And the first step to reach your destiny is to believe in Christ and keep laboring for the food which leads to eternal life. And remember this, believing in Christ is the work of God because God gives you that belief. It means it's the starting point in your spiritual life. It's how it all begins, with a belief in Christ. And then we go from there. But it is God who accomplishes all of this. God leads us. God gives us strength to persevere. He gives us the faith in Christ and then the faith of Christ to continue. But we have to follow his lead. We have to accept what he offers us. Now, all glory goes to God. We can earn this salvation, but we can be thankful to God that he has been offering these things to us. For as Jesus Christ has said, without him, we can do nothing. That's a strong statement. We can do absolutely nothing. And so notice in conclusion, another passage in Isaiah chapter 26 and in verse 12. Isaiah 26 and verse 12. Lord, you will establish peace for us. For you have also done all our works in us.